selfies aren't really new. Artists have been making self-portraits of one kind or another for centuries, and not just because painting or drawing yourself is easier and cheaper than finding a model. Art historian James Hall has a new book out called The Self-Portrait: A Cultural History. He told me that long before there were cell phones or oil paint, there were self-portraits.
I go right back to ancient Egypt, where there's a portrait of a court sculptor, and we see him with a pot belly, which is the attribute of the prosperous rich.
So would he have been proud of that big pot belly?
Yes, he would. He would have been very proud of it.
So I was surprised to read in your book that the tradition of self-portraits seems to begin to take off during the Middle Ages. There's one that shows a guy, 12th century monk Hildebertus. It's kind of a simple sort of line drawing. It looks like he's working. He's working on illuminating a manuscript. Over on a table, there's a mouse, and looks like he's going to throw a stone or something at the mouse.
Yes, he's throwing a sponge at the mouse, and there's a caption in the book which says, "Damn you, mouse, for causing me so much trouble." And it seems as though, on the face of it, it's just an amusing joke. But Hildebertus is saying, by noticing the mouse, I am, you know, enlarging my consciousness. Mm. And by painting myself and being self-conscious, I'm showing another aspect of God's creation.
Well, things really start to change, and we start to see what I think of as more traditional self-portraits in the Renaissance, where you have, you know, a canvas and there's the artist, him or herself, mostly himself, looking out at you. By the end of the Renaissance, when Rembrandt begins painting, self-portraits have become much more common. Could you tell us a little bit about the context in which Rembrandt painted one of his early self-portraits? It's the one where he's wearing a plumed beret from 1629.
Yes, well, Rembrandt is extraordinary. I suppose our basic idea about Rembrandt doesn't go that much further than that, the New Yorker cartoon, which has Rembrandt in his studio, and the caption is, "Hendrika, I feel another self-portrait coming on. Bring in the funny hats." as though he just sort of made them on a whim. But most of his self-portraits, almost a third of them, were made in about the first 3 years of his professional life, and a lot of them were engravings which could be mass-produced. And in a way, it appears as though he was trying to imply that he was famous before he actually was famous. And this, the painting you mention, is a fantastic example of this, because here's the young artist, but yet he's wearing the headgear of a courtier.
You know, the person who immediately springs to mind, my mind at least, when we talk about telling a life story through paintings is Frida Kahlo, the great Mexican painter. She did dozens of self-portraits.
Yeah, she's a very much a 20th century phenomenon, the career self-portraitist.
She painted herself over and over and over again, but in many different situations, many different costumes. And of course, you know, she was physically in pain so much of her life from a very early accident. What do you think she's doing with those self-portraits? Was it, I don't know, self-portraiture as a kind of self-analysis or wanting to control how people saw her?
Well, she initially trained as a doctor, and I tend to think that in the self-portraits, she's both doctor and patient. She's trying to show the suffering she's experienced, but at the same time, she's trying to suggest that she can control it. And the painting, The Two Fridas, is a good example of that. Two identical Frida Kahlos are sitting on a bench next to each other, one wearing European costume and the other one wearing Mexican costume. There's almost an anatomical illustration of the heart in each figure. So the heart is exposed. And she was getting divorced from Diego Rivera, the painter. So she's showing the suffering she's going through. And one of the figures is holding a vein that's been cut but she's also holding forceps to close the vein. So in this, she's almost literally is doctor and patient.
Mm. So we've been spending this hour talking about the selfie phenomenon that's really swept across the globe over the last few years. Do you think, is there a place for selfies in the conversation about self-portraits?
Yes, I think there has to be. The first artist I know, or well-known artist I know of who made a selfie was Edvard Munch when he was in a sanatorium at the time, and he held a camera out at arm's length and photographed himself. That was in the 1930s. And of course, then there is Andy Warhol's photo booth and Polaroid.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess what I'm curious about is most people who are taking selfies are not thinking of themselves as artists making a self-portrait. But is there a way in which you would suggest, as an art historian, are there ways you could deepen the experience?
Well, yes, I suppose my feeling about self-portraits is that the ones where artists eyeball the viewer are the least interesting ones. It's like someone who's telling you something that's of enormous importance, but of course it's only of enormous importance to them. And I think the best self-portraits, they're withholding something. Trying to be too intense is perhaps not a good idea in a self-portrait in 2014.
James Hall's new book is called The Self-Portrait, A Cultural History.